Wait, is that really you? Stand up. Stand up. Welcome him home to his church again. I can remember when you were much smaller.
I bet you can.
Yes, I can. But thank you for your service to our country. The scripture lesson this morning is taken from the sixth chapter of Ephesians again, and I will be reading verses 14 through 20. And here again we have the repetition of the armor that Christians must put on to defend themselves in this world. And then we have an added word that makes that armor efficient. So here's the word of God. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then he adds, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And may God add his blessing to the reading and the understanding of his word. Let's look to him and ask for the presence of his Holy Spirit in my speaking and in your hearing and in all of our doing. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have come to this word again that speaks to us of the armor of protection that God has given us, and also the power of that protection that you provide. And now we come, Father, longing to know a deeper meaning of prayer, a deeper experience of prayer. And thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the universe, spends so much time in all eternity praying for his people. Thank you for those prayers. And we pray knowing that they are all powerful and they will protect us. And so we pray for that protection of not only your armor, but of the means you have provided for us to stay in touch with you always. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When one looks carefully at the detailed description of God's armor, which he commands all believers to put on, there seems to be a glaring omission at first sight. All of our lives, we have been taught the primacy of prayer, the importance of prayer, the great importance of prayer for the Christian walk. But not only so, but the scriptures continually exhort us to pray. As a matter of fact, there is one Bible verse that tells us to pray without ceasing. There is no mention of prayer as a part of the armor that God provides. And we are commanded to wear the full armor, but look at the link between putting on the armor and prayer. The word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, is our main offensive weapon in resisting and as well as attacking the forces of spiritual evil. It is a very powerful weapon indeed when it's combined with the word of man back to God. God spoke his word, we have it here, and then he commands us to respond by speaking to him. And so when we put on the armor of God, as the hymn, Stand Up for Jesus says, each piece put on with prayer. And the first all of prayer is always praying. The apostle immediately directly ties the putting on of God's armor with the spirit of prayer. And certainly we understand that there is a combination, a holy combination here, that if we follow the teaching of Scripture, that we will not only resist evil, but we will overcome it in our own lives. And prayer is so much more than just asking for an emergency exit when things get really tough. Ideally, scriptural prayer is basically just simply staying in touch with God. This includes praise. It includes supplication, intercession, confession, and all of the other elements that go into prayer. But it also may take the form, and it often does, of being overwhelmed in the presence of God. And you find yourself both shedding tears when you think about what it costs God to hear our prayers through His Son, and to know that there are times when words aren't enough, and you must simply weep before God. And on the other hand, maybe it's just smiling and laughing in God's direction because you're so overwhelmed with how God is so good to you and He has delivered you. And oftentimes, as I read God's Word, I find myself praying through the words of Scripture, as I did this morning before daylight, and read those first two verses from the Psalms again, and I just was overwhelmed with the fact that God is so good to us. And so there are times when we simply need to experience and feel the nearness and the intervention of God in our lives. Well, I don't advise you, when such times come, to bow your head and close your eyes. Because I was speeding down the Blue Ridge Parkway one time. I was not driving, but another preacher was driving, and he burst out in the song that speaks of God's presence, and let go and let God. And I said, don't let go of that steering wheel, but let God guide your hands. So there are times when you simply have to go into the presence of God and sit there quietly and absorb His goodness. And Martin Luther, the great reformer, advocated not standing still or not even bowing your head, but he advocated that we stand and that we pray out loud and that we walk around our room. Why was he advising that? Because he said when you sit still, then you're overwhelmed with other thoughts as well. So all prayer and supplication is the next. When the apostle uses this expression, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, he speaks even more directly to the variety of prayer. Though prayer is a very general word, which covers not only Peter's cry for help when he began to sink beneath the waves, when he boldly stepped out of the boat, and his prayer was very short, help. And sometimes our prayers are very short, help. And other times we just want to absorb and reflect on the different ways that God has blessed us. But I think that we sometimes just give in to a general prayer. When you pray for overseas missionaries, you may just pray, bless our missionaries on the home and foreign fields, or bless all of the missionaries in Mexico, or bless all of the missionaries. But that's not good enough. We need to stay in touch with our missionaries and find out the names of people they want us to pray for and the situation, the different situations that come up. And that's a much more meaningful prayer than just bless all of the people in Mexico who are hearing the gospel. But write to your missionaries and find out the specific names of people they're praying for. And volunteer. I'd like to join you in your ministry by praying for the people you're praying for. Now, of course, that kind of praying is much more demanding, but our prayers would really have more power if we focused on people and situations day by day. Maybe if we prayed for one family in our church every day. You know, I'm always constantly saying, take this home with you and bless this congregation you pray and bless our elders and deacons. That's not good enough. As you see people who aren't here and people who are here, pray for them and pray specifically that God will minister to them. And if they're troubled in spirit or troubled in circumstances, but how do you know how to pray for people? Well, the Bible is full of prayers for people, and certainly when Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah, he was praying especially that God would save the righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah if there were only 10, and God said he would. So our prayers for the disintegrating culture that we live in, and we really are living in a culture that's going to pieces before our very eyes and demands that we pray. Well, how do you pray for a country? How do you pray for a culture? Well, you do it by turning to God's word. And actually, Daniel's prayers for the captivity of his people, and show us how to confess our sins and confess the sins of our nation. And the long prayers that Jesus prayed the night before he chose his 12 disciples are all instructive about how to pray. And then the Lord's prayer for himself as he was in the garden praying, praying knowing that he would soon be separated by your sin and mine from the Father in heaven. And for the first time in all eternity, Jesus was facing the wrath of God. No wonder he wept and cried and prayed out, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, deliver me. If not, your will be done." So we have all sorts of examples in the Bible of how people prayed. And certainly, the one great example is Jesus seeking wisdom and seeking comfort. And you know, I think that even though Jesus ended that prayer by praying, "Not my will, but your will be done," but there's an added word following that. Then an angel came and comforted him. The Father hears your cries. The Father knows your tears. He's weeping too at the loss of his son and the son, what his son must go through. But it's not a loss. It's not a permanent loss. But when we get the idea that God himself is tenderhearted, like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. And the Father was sending his angel down to comfort Jesus because he was touched by the grief of his son. And he's touched by your grief too. He knows what you're going through. And so when we come to the prayers of intercession, certainly we want to pray. And the word tells us to be watchful and with all perseverance and supplication. You don't just pray one time for somebody. You keep on praying for them and believing that God will answer those prayers. And certainly we have to know what's going on in our community if we're going to be intercessors for God. And we need to know what's going on in our denomination, in our church. And certainly that's why we include the churches of our presbytery, because we need to know what's going on, because we're all members of the same body. And we need to have knowledge of what other churches are doing as motivation to us. And so we pray for them. And I believe this is what the apostle had in mind when he said, be watchful in all perseverance and supplication. So there we must be watchful. We must be aware. And we must pray for all of the saints. I'm overwhelmed when I think that Jesus Christ in heaven is praying for all of his people one by one, millions of them throughout the world, but he's living in eternity. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, I think, is looking for people who will join him in prayers of intercession for each other. I know that that would require a radical shift in our use of time, but doesn't this passage seem to suggest that that's exactly what Christians need? A serious ministry of intercession is very demanding and requires conscious sacrifice on your part. It's even more demanding and also more urgent than deciding to give a percentage of your income to the Lord. Have you ever thought about this? I need to tithe my time, and I need to set aside a significant gap of time, extent of time, so that I will have time to pray. And as Paul called upon the church in Ephesus, make supplication for all the saints. No doubt he was thinking about the Jews and the Gentiles, because they were having hard feelings and they were having a hard time getting together. The tension ran high and the church was threatened with splits. So how are we to understand the application of this? In every congregation, there are many differences of opinion, many lingering bad feelings as well as good feelings, that sometimes last for generations, not just for a few moments. And so we need to pray for each other. When Jacob was returning to Canaan after an absence to 20 years, he remembered how angry his brother Esau was at him. And so he stopped on his way back and prayed, God, change Esau's heart and mind. And he got a report that Esau was marching out to meet him. And so he prayed fervently, God, save me from my brother whom I have wronged. But when they got together, not only was Esau's heart changed, but Jacob, the one who was praying for Esau, his heart was changed. His whole attitude was changed. And that's what happens when people take serious prayer. And when they engage in serious prayer, and certainly God not only changes the circumstances of people for whom you're praying, but he also changes your heart. And if you could think of it this way, that if there's somebody in this congregation that you don't know very well, or that you have some short or long-standing resentment against, pick that person out. Begin to pray for that person in particular, and that God will change your heart and change their hearts. And so you can come together as brothers in Christ. And that was the marvelous thing about the story of Jacob. It's not that Esau changed his heart, but God changed the heart of Jacob as well. And then they began to act like brothers toward each other. So that's the four of the five alls of prayer. And even though all prayers should include specific persons and specific needs. So Paul adds on to this, also pray for me. And that, what would we pray for Paul? Well, he's in prison. He's chained to Roman soldiers day and night. He doesn't even have a moment of privacy. And he is facing the possibility Nero may decide to kill me at any time. And Nero did just that. So what does Paul pray for, ask for prayer for me? That I may get out of prison? That I may escape the wrath of Nero? Listen to this. Pray for me that words may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that was the only request that Paul made. I'm sure the church in Ephesus did pray for him to his life to be spared and prayed for Paul to be released and go back to the mission field again. But Paul's only request was that I may be given boldness to speak the words that I ought to speak. And so the congregation was interceded for by this man who wrote this letter, but he in turn turned it around and said, pray for me. But his request was different. His request was that I may have boldness to speak the words I ought to speak, and that would determine his death. And yet Paul wanted to go out speaking the words of the mystery of the gospel. The opportunity would be given to him. He was not praying that his chains would fall off. I'm sure some of those Roman soldiers were smelly, and some of those Roman soldiers were mocking, and Paul did not pray that I'll be unchanged from these inhospitable people, but rather he's praying that I may speak the word boldly as I ought to speak. If you knew that you had one request and that people would really pray for you, what would you ask people to pray for? Maybe for some, it was so that I will speak the words how to speak from this pulpit. And maybe for some, that I would speak words of kindness to other people that I don't particularly like, and that I would make an effort to speak the words of God in my life and through my life, and that when my life is over, that I may speak the words to those attending my death that I ought to speak. For many people, we need not pray that God would give them boldness to speak, but that God would withhold their tongue sometimes from speaking at all. We had the last presbytery meeting was dominated by one man who thought that wisdom will die with me, so I'll spread forth my wisdom for everybody to hear. But the apostle well knew his own weakness, an inability to serve God in his own strength as I do. yet he knew his position, though unseen and unknown by human eye. God knew all about him. Now, how fitting that one should take the highest office possible as an apostle of Christ and still say, I have one request, that I would be faithful to speak the words that God would have me speak. And certainly, if you had one request, what would it be? If you were to stand up and say, and each person would do this and say, I have a request, what would it be? What would it be? So here are the five alls of prayer. How are we doing? I really, sincerely, firmly believe that if this church could but pray as we are taught in this passage of Scripture to pray, and especially that last request, that we would transform the world around us, that our families would be transformed, and that you could speak the words in kindness and in love that God would have you to speak. Let's pray for that right now. Father, I pray that my own heart would be pure before you and that I would be able to speak your word. And I pray for each person here, and I pray that their hearts would be touched, that they would become mighty, powerful church prayer warriors in this congregation and in this fading country of ours. And I pray, Father, that you will cleanse our hearts so that we could come before your throne of grace and pray as we are taught to pray in your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.